This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and each week we invite guests to discuss the environmental issues that impact our quality of life and often our economy right here in Washtenaw County. Last week we discussed an expanded Do Not Eat Fish advisory for the Huron River. At that time, it covered a span of the river from Oakland County to the Washtenaw-Livingston County line. Since then, the state has again expanded the advisory. It now covers the entirety of the Huron River, from Oakland County to Lake Erie. The issue? The chemical compounds known as PFOS and PFAS. Our guest last week is our guest this week. Laura Rubin is the executive director of the Huron River Watershed Council. And Laura, as much as I enjoy our conversations, this is one I wish we didn't have to have.
I agree, David. I'm sorry that I'm back with you again.
Well, I was in San Francisco after our conversation last Wednesday, and in all honesty, I kind of shut off the news part of my brain for a few days. I was quite surprised to come back to find another expansion of the fish advisory. So kind of catch me up. What did the state find that they deemed it appropriate to cover the entire span of the river?
Yes, well, I agree with you. Unfortunately, we got alerted late Thursday that they had received additional fish samples. So we knew they had set the first fish advisory based on some fish samples out of Kent Lake. And they since then got fish samples back from Baseline Lake and Argo. And I'm unclear still about whether they got a fish sample back from Flat Rock. But from what I understand from the press advisory, those samples were also high in PFAS. I'm not sure how high. I haven't been able to get the results. But they were high enough that they extended the fish advisory for all of the Huron River and the impoundments on it going down to Lake Erie.
So that covers some or all of the adjoining waters?
Yes. It's unclear about whether it covers the tributaries. There is a lot of fishing, especially in our Mill Creek and the Chelsea Dexter area. Most of the other tributaries don't have much fishing on it. But it does cover some, highly fished lakes and impoundments that we have, from Barton Pond to Ford Lake, down to Belleville Lake and Flat Rock.
Now, I know this has all come rather suddenly. The first small advisory was issued back on August 4th. That's a month ago. Have efforts yet begun to try and measure the potential economic impact of this contamination?
No. I will say, and many of our anglers know this, there have been fish advisories on many of these lakes for PCBs in particular. Some of the fish already are not fish to be caught and eaten. Sometimes it's just catch and release. So we haven't been able to estimate the impact. We have been working very closely with the Huron-Clinton Metro Parks Authority and our local county parks just to get signs up. And I know that they're very discouraged because that clearly does impact the amount of traffic and visitors to their parks.
Now, obviously, the PFAS have contaminated the water and the fish. What does that mean for the ecology and other wildlife in the Huron River watershed?
It's hard to say. We know that this is a chemical that does bioaccumulate. So, our larger birds of prey that are ingesting fish, it's clearly building up in them, and that's the concern also for public health. But we don't know in terms of some of the smaller species what the impacts are, and, we're hoping. We do know it's interesting now that they've identified a source up in Wixom at the Wixom Wastewater Treatment Plant. That plant actually feeds into Norton Creek. And when we look historically at our bug data and our habitat data, Norton Creek has been a very impaired water body. And we've known that for a long time and have been looking for sources. We focused most recently on some of the stormwater runoff, because that creek has had a lot of changes sort of hydrologically. But now we know that potentially we have another chemical that might be impacting the bugs and the habitat up there.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with Laura Rubin of the Huron River Watershed Council about PFAS contamination of the Huron River, its impacts now and potentially in the future. As you mentioned, we now know at least some of the contamination emanates from a manufacturer in the Wixom area. Adept Plasting and Finishing, Inc. sent high levels of PFOS to that Wixom wastewater treatment plant, which then released treated but still contaminated wastewater into the Huron River, Norton Creek to be specific. If we know that happened, how do we not know how to prevent it?
Well, this is where we have a lot of frustration because, this kind of contamination is going to repeat and repeat itself until we change our regulation of chemicals and we enforce the laws that we have. we know that this is a bad pollutant. It has been banned. It's still being used, but it's also, you know, we need to figure out, too, is this residual from residual usage or is this from current usage? ADEPT has said that they have not been using PFOS related in their chrome-plated plastic since 2015. So, you know,
that's quite a shelf life for contamination then.
It is. And, you know, so, you know, we need to get you know, greater enforcement on figuring out why we're getting such high numbers coming out of this plant. You know, again, the monitoring has been focused on one subset of this larger category of PFOS. This is PFOS with an O there. You know, and it has a different level. But, you know, that the Wixom Wastewater Treatment Plant, we were seeing 290 parts per trillion coming out when the state allows up to 12 parts per trillion. So these are really high numbers, and, you know, this can't happen.
Now, ADEPT has been identified as a source, but we do not know for certain that it is the sole source, correct?
Yes, correct. I know that the DEQ has told me that they've been looking at a fire department training facility nearby. They've been looking at a landfill nearby. You know, this is the first one that's been identified. These results came back in June. You know, I'm hoping, and the Watershed Council will be working on advocating for the DEQ and the EPA for a swift cleanup and a stop of this release, and we're hoping we get some action.
Speaking of action, back in the 1980s, then-State Senator Lana Pollock authored polluter pay legislation and made it the responsibility of polluters to cover the cost of cleanup and remediation. That legislation was dismantled during the Engler administration. So as we look at the contamination in the Huron River and waters throughout the state of Michigan, I assume it's going to be a cleanup that's billed to taxpayers and not the polluters. Are you working with state lawmakers to redraft some form of polluter pay legislation?
We'd love to see a change in the polluter pay legislation. And also the cleanup standards. You know, we still don't have strict cleanup standards. We really have what's called containment. We've seen this throughout the watershed with the dioxane issue, with this issues and others. Our polluters aren't required to either pay for the cleanup or to have a full cleanup. It's really become weakened legislation that puts the onus on the citizens, but also just contains it. It allows it at low levels, and we are seeing more and more that these low levels of pollutants across the watershed are really causing severe drinking water and fish advisory problems.
Huron River runs over 900 miles. How difficult will it be to clean that much water to the point where a do not eat fish advisory can be lifted?
It's a challenge, David. I have to say, you know, Friday, after having seen the advisory over the entire watershed, I was very saddened and disappointed. To know that we have a potential source with such high levels is a little heartening in the story, because at least we have one source we can go after and we can start to, you know, try to knock off some of these larger sources. You know, we still have yet to determine how pervasive it is throughout the watershed. But when you find these large sources, and what we've seen across the state when they have identified large sources, it is heartening to know that there are treatment technologies that are out there for cleanup, and that might really make a big dent in lowering these numbers across the watershed.
Well, the Ann Arbor Municipal Water Supply is obviously dependent on the Huron River, and trace levels have been discovered there. City Council is working to remediate and eliminate that issue, but that is a time and resource expense in the short term. Longer term, what do you think the city should be looking to do to further protect the drinking water?
Well, the city most recently announced that they would be looking at the charcoal treatment filtration mm-hmm. at the drinking water. It is a huge expense, and that goes on the taxpayers to pay for that, and that, as you just said, that's unfair. At this point, though, I think, you know, of utmost importance is to protect the drinking water of that 110 or so 1,000 residents that drink that water, and I think that's a really strong step and a show of leadership by the city of Ann Arbor.
What has been obvious through the course of our conversation is that as much as we do know, there is much more that we don't know. So what is going to be the function of the Watershed Council from this point forward in getting the Huron River clean again?
Well, first and foremost, we're trying to get answers. There's a lot of confusion about, you know, where this is coming from, how pervasive it is, and again, what the level should be that protect public health. So we've really been pushing the DEQ for more answers, pushing for swifter action. Again, we don't want to wait for Flint, where the buck was passed and there was a lot of inaction here. So the Watershed Council is really doing a lot of advocacy with the DEQ. We want to look into what's feasible in terms of cleaning up this site at a depth and stopping that inflow of PFAS. We want to make sure also that we're educating our users out there, that we're being responsible to the 650,000 residents in our watershed and making sure that they know about this fish consumption, that we're catching any other potential drinking water contaminants, whether it's through surface water or groundwater.
Laura, I thank you for your time, and I hope you will take this in the spirit that it's offered, but I hope we don't have to speak for a third week in a row next week.
Yes, David, I agree. Thanks so much.
That is Laura Rubin, Executive Director of the Huron River Watershed Council. I'm David Fair, and Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. It's heard each Wednesday only on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.